Hey everybody, it's Katie, and you're listening to How to Play with Your Kids and What to Expect. Hey friends, it feels like I just came back up from the bottom of the ocean. Just to run through real quick, I apologize for being gone so long. Someone I love had a stroke, so I had to go out of town for a little while, and then we had a flood in our kitchen, and then because of the flood in the kitchen and because of certain holidays and things and sick kids, I haven't had one goddamn day by myself without these motherfuckers crimping my style. So I'm free and only for like an hour. So hey, but I think it's going to be a great time because I've got a lot to catch you up on and I'm really, really excited. So let's dive into it. First, our topic today is about a book that is so good, so good. And this will be my third time reading it. And it was recommended to me when we started going to therapy together as a family by the therapist. So I know it's legit. Anyways, it is Get Out of My Life, But First Could You Drive Me and Cheryl to the Mall? So already the title is fan-fucking-tastic. I love it. But if you just look up Get Out of My Life, and then the author, Anthony E. Wolf, PhD. So if you just look up Get Out of My Life, Wolf, it'll probably just pop right up. It's super easy to find. It's on Amazon, Audible. I've listened to it now. Again, this is my third time. So we go in for family therapy and the therapist says, okay, just this book is like the first book I give to parents with teenagers. This is the best, just like the best all around guide for raising a teen. Okay, cool, 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 cool. So I buy it, and I've read it and forgotten it even existed until recently when I had another child now come up into these like teen years, and start like treating me like shit for no reason. I was like, what the fuck? And then I remembered, oh, I love that book. And I always remember the title because it's so silly, because it's Get Out of My Life. And that's funny as fuck because it just really encapsulates the entire vibe. But also, could you please give me stuff and buy me everything and give me money and take me places and like also be in my life, but also don't be in my life. So, and we're gonna dive right in. And the reason I'm sharing this is because as I'm listening to it, I'm going out like into the world and every conversation I'm having with other parents is literally, oh, you should definitely check out this book. Oh my gosh, they talk about it in this book I'm reading. Oh my gosh, this book would totally help you. And those parents have like toddlers. So I'm giving this to everyone right now, whether you have a teen, whether you have a toddler, or whether you're pregnant, this book is fan-fucking-tastic. And so here's why, because it explains how kids work like they're a separate species almost, because that's the way that you have to start like thinking about it. And so I'm not good. I don't want to mess this up because it's such a good book. So I'm just going to dive in. Okay, so first they talk about how over-punishment leads to development of the primitive brain. So like over-punishing, freaking out, judging them, name-calling, spanking them, hitting them, grounding them, throwing their Xbox on the ground, whatever else, right? It develops this primitive brain and the kid starts to think, oh, I better not do bad because of what'll happen to me. Like they start to think, oh, the consequence affecting them. Instead totally neglecting. I'm getting so excited. I'm having a hard time talking clearly. Okay. I always wish I could just like avatar touch tails with everyone and they could just know what I know. That would be fucking rad. If I could just be like, don't worry, friend. You can have all the information I have. Okay. So I'm going to try to slow down and help you understand what I'm talking about. Okay, so, but instead they don't develop that part of themselves where they're like, oh, I wonder how this would affect other people, or, my consequences have actions outside of my life, right? But we don't learn that when we're overpunished and even physically or mentally or whatever, right? And so it talks about how it teaches them also that like fear and intimidation get what you want. And so I'm thinking this way. I'm always thinking of the whole child. So like when I read this, I think like shit. Shit. So that the toddler here in question, or like I always think about them as a toddler, I'm sorry. So like in this case, Hank is the teenager who's now like and totally aggressive and wants to fight everything, et cetera, et cetera. But he's my new parenting style, right? Like I was like, no, Keith, we can't hit him. No, Keith, we can't use those words. No, Keith. And I constantly was like, oh my God, what are you doing? That's, he's a person, excuse me, and my disgusting cough. Children are disgusting and there's some cooties around and I cannot seem to get rid of them. So I apologize. But anyway, so I was always doing that. And then the other teenagers now who are all through being teenagers, when I look back at their toddler youth or their preschool development, Keith was very harsh, and it was very like, you have to accept this no and deal with it. And I was like, whoa, that's like really harsh, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, but fast forward 15 years, and it's very clear that like both people were right and both people were wrong. So, there's always a middle ground, there's always a medium, which is totally what we're riding on now. But. Well, I'll have to notify you how Magnus turns out as a teenager. There's still time out on that one. I have no idea. But the other three, we moved through teenage timing with, I would say, some grace and some disaster, but mostly grace. I would say that we were very comfortable in that time. Like, some people got on our nerves here and there or whatever. I mean, they're teenagers. They're terrible. Excuse me. But for the most part, they were, kind and courteous to others, and they worked hard, and they, I was pretty proud of them for the most part. I didn't feel terrorized, right? And so we're trying to bleh. Now we have Hank, who was coddled, and I totally allowed him, and this is not even, I'm just admitting this without feeling, but because it's a fact, but I totally allowed him to argue with me at a very early age. And if he was right, I would just give in because he was right. And I was like proud of him for being smart. And I don't, I don't know, it seemed right at the time. So I really have nothing for that. But what it turned into is now a teenager who thinks he can argue every single point and get the point changed. And up until like, I remembered to read this book. He was getting it and it was working and I was being swayed. And then slowly I remembered, oh my God, I have this book about this. Anyway, so, and in just, oh God, I cannot recommend this book enough. In just like hearing the first chapter, in fact, my notes for this are only on the first chapter. And just the first chapter can really alleviate a lot of pressure and stress that you've put upon yourself because the way he describes them is per it's great. Anyways, I'm not gonna give it two, like, I won't give it 5 stars. I'm gonna give it 4.5 because it is a little boring and worded weird. But it was written a long time ago. Deal with it. Okay, so, anyways, so let's go back to the book. Wait. Did I completely explain what I was talking about with Hank? Let's see. This is a problem. Allison, if you're listening, I'm always thinking about you. Katie, what's the point? Katie, what's the point? Okay. So, he was allowed to do all this stuff. Now he's turning into a teenager. He is way more difficult than everyone else. I knew that the boy came out difficult. But the fact of this matter is that I could have stopped this behavior from the beginning had I followed these instructions from this teenage book, which is so unfair. Don't like, yeah. I mean, I get that that's like a lot of pressure and you don't know what you don't know, blah, 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 blah. But I so want to give this to people who have younger kids right now and be like, read this shit. Because if you follow those steps with your toddlers, with your preschoolers, with your teenagers, with the people at work that piss you off, with your husband, with your fucking dog, if you follow this format, I am convinced that it will help. Like, I don't want to put a guarantee on it because I ain't got nothing you can take and I ain't got nothing to give. But I have faith in it. And I really think it's a great first step. So what they talk about is that right now they're growing. I'm sorry, they is not a thing. Dr. Wolf, he has a name. He's an author. My bad. My bad. So what Dr. Wolf talks about is that they're growing this independent self. And he's, again, talking from a teenage perspective. But again, I want to say that this is the same shit that happens when they're like 2 or 3, right? It's like this, oh my God, I have like my own fucking brain. I don't have to do what you say. What? Or like, what if I just fucking didn't do it? Then what would you do? You know, it's like this fun little game they're trying to figure out. But at this time in adolescence, it's really becoming independent. And it's, you know, so they demand this freedom and the right to attain it, but they still need to feel that you're in control. And so that's a really difficult position to be in. Again, toddler and teenage, but I'll tell you that teenagers can get, and Dr. Wolf talks about it, super fucking intimidating. They're incredibly smart. They're incredibly observant. And they're mean as fuck. Relentless. But in this, it talks about the baby self and how the baby self has no judgment and it never like looks in on itself. So we've got this independent self forming, but we've also got this baby self that's always existed that literally never has self-judgment. We don't look, it's just, it exists. I believe he says in the book, it just is. Things just are. We just kind of accept that. excuse me. But the independent self wants to grow and change and become something completely different than you and explore and all of these exciting things. And we want them to be able to do that and feel safe at home and feel like they have a good base. But when they keep pulling and pushing and constantly feeling like they're attacking you, it can be damn near impossible to stay calm or even understand what's happening, because everyone's always like, well, don't take it personal. Don't take it personal. But the insults are incredibly fucking directed. They are personal. Whoa. So how could you not take something personal that's fucking personal? But I can tell you now that, like, I've been around. We move a lot. And I've met a lot of people. I've been to a lot of different shits. And in my experience, every person always is like, oh, you don't know them. Like if you try to say like, oh, your daughter's so sweet or whatever, they're like, yeah, to you. Or, you know, all of these things. So it's incredibly common. Like, everyone feels this way and everyone's teenagers are treating them just a little bit like shit, no matter how great they really are. Because we're all great and we all have this independent self and we're all shitty and we all have this baby self. So I love this book. It's super easy to understand, right? So you've got your baby, the kid has this baby self that is so attached to you and so in love with you and it wants this connection so bad, but it's also incredibly safe around you. And this is what, like, you know, you'll constantly hear this as a young mom, like, oh, when they're mean to you, that means they love you the best. And you're like, what the fuck? But it's 100% true. They treat the person that they feel the safest with the worst. Okay, so here's how you can combat it. Oh, let's get into it. It fucking sucks. It fucking sucks. So he also goes on to talk about how they'll dismantle your authority and how if... Oh, wait, I skipped one. My bad, guys. While they demand freedom and the right to attain it, they still need to feel the parent's strength. I think we went over that. Okay, so that strength, they still, so when the baby self is combating you or the independent self is going against you or whatever the fuck, whatever nightmare child you're dealing with at the moment, that version of your kid needs to feel your strength. If they don't, and this is what he talks about. So it says, they will try to dismantle your authority, but it can be undone if they are successful, which means they're going to keep coming at you, right? They're going to keep trying to dismantle your authority. They're going to keep trying to fucking be independent or attack you or constantly just boom, 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 all these little shots at you. But if you fall, everything about them can be undone. And he goes on to talk about, like, this is where they risk addiction, suicide, blah, blah, blah. So, like, when this, so, kind of, I'm trying to, like, make it easier to understand. I hope I'm making sense. But, like, think of this, think of your baby as, like, an animal, right? Instead of a person. Like, this animal is attacking this bush, and it just, like, is constantly biting away at it, biting away at it, biting away at it. But if the bush dies, so does the animal. Like, the animal needs a strong bush that can take a fucking beating. Also, giggity that I used bush. Gross. But seriously. Anyway, okay. But if they're successful and you fall, then everything falls. And so this is where I think that it can help you understand that as the toddler, as the preschool, as the baby, your authority as a teenager, as an adult, your authority over them, it means something to them. They want to feel tethered, and they'll try everything they can to untether, but they want it. They need it inside. And it's your job as the adult to give it to them. Is that fair? No. No. Did anyone prepare you? No. Is it cool? No. Does it feel good? No. Does it make you happy? No. No. You won't see the benefits of it for a really long time. But you have to keep doing it over and over and over, like an exercise. excuse me. Am I disgusting? Throw it, you guys. Okay. So, we can, then he goes on to say, we can get through it. It's not easy, but possible. Yeah, doctor, I covered it. So, yes, you can do it. Yes, we can make it to the other side. Is it going to feel good? No. That's why we do drugs. You know, get some Prozac, get some Zoloft, get some alcohol, get some weed, get a nap, hike more. Whatever it is that you as a parent need, do that more. Do your crafting. Start braiding. I don't even know what people do anymore. Do whatever you want, man. Get artsy. Get weird. Be a person. But this part of your life is going to be difficult. You can put money on it. So you have to do what you need to do to help you mentally prepare for that. It's like right before you get punched in the stomach and you tense up. It's like that. You just get ready for that shit. And my favorite is always comparing everything to contractions, because it's just like that. It's going to come. There's nothing you can do about it. And all you can do is breathe through it. So try to think of their shit behavior like that and breathe through it. It's nothing will prepare you, as we all know, for the tiny you that can really see you reflecting back to you your shittiness or your failures or your insecurities or fears or whatever it is. There's nothing like it. And it will break a lesser person. So here's how we're gonna get through it, team. First, drink a lot of water. Okay, let's see. Step one. Also, P.S., if you read this book or listen to this book, he starts with step one and then he doesn't even say step two or step three or anything. So I had to make this outline and I had to listen to it. I'm so dumb. And this is why I'm sharing, so that everyone can feel empowered today. I'm so dumb. I had to not only listen to this like six times, constantly rewinding, but I had to do it on half speed because I can't keep up. So, however long it takes you, however hard it is, just keep going. Martin Luther King said, if you can't walk, crawl, if you can't crawl. Wait, nope. What do you say? If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. Keep going. Just fucking try. Just a little bit. So even if you have to repeat it 5 or 6 times for your own self to get it, there's no judgment. Nobody knows what the fuck they're doing. Raising an independent human brain is it's wild. Okay, so be prepared when you listen to the book. It's not as organized, but step one, accept that your child has the right to say anything they choose, no matter how. And yes, this motherfucker did say stupid in that book, which I was like, what the fuck? No matter how stupid or unreasonable. So I just cannot believe he said stupid in that. I was like, damn, Dr. Wolf. But he's right. Like, sometimes they say stuff and your very first thought is like, what the fuck? Oh my God. Or like, you are so dumb. Oh my God. You know, whatever baby self your thoughts revert back to that's judgmental and kind of mean. He's right. That's like the first thing that you start to think is like, oh my God, that's not even what this is about or whatever. Or worse, it's a personal attack on you. And then you have to reroute your entire brain because all you can think of is just annihilating the, your competition there or your aggressor or whatever you'll have it there. Because that's what it feels like. It feels like you must return fire in order to save your respect. Okay, but that turns out is not true. So, very first step, let them say what it is they want to say. Let them just say it. And when they're talking, don't listen like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, more of like a skim listen. Don't be like hanging on every word and shit. Because that's where they're going to fuck you. Just remember, everything that comes out of their mouth is now going to be like in a personal robot attack. So nothing fucking matters. Nothing they say is just fucking beep. Then when it's your turn to talk, okay, he says, then say what it is that you have to say. So this is step two. So now step one is allow them to just fill the room with their teenage testosterone or estrogen or whatever the fuck they got going on. Just let them, boom, take up the room. Okay? Great. Step two, and in my opinion, the fucking most difficult, worst one. Say what it is that you have to say, but most importantly, not be affected in any way by their response. Good luck. It is hard. Now, I'm going to take a side excursion just for a quick little story. So this is not only the hardest part, I've ever only been close to doing it perfectly one time, and I remember it. So on this very day, Olivia argues constantly. She's very good at it. Hank is very good at it. Everyone else kind of just accepts their punishment, but those two, boom, they've got a story. They got a way. They're coming at you. Boom, 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 boom. How can I get out of this? They'll keep you on your toes. So I had had the worst fucking day in human history. I had also been reading this book. This was like, this must have been 10 years ago or so. So I'm reading this book. I'm going to therapy. All this other bullshit. Actually, that's too long ago. Anyways, I don't know numbers. It was a while ago. But I'm in a good place. I'm learning. Okay, I got teenagers. But I'm never really good at delivering this unemotionally. Because I am just a fucking ball of them. It's just everywhere. I'm everywhere, obviously. So, never been good at it, but I'm practicing. I'm trying. Okay, blah, blah, blah. On this day, I went grocery shopping to Sam's Club. I filled the entire car with the groceries and then went to go start the car. I also have a baby with me. I don't remember how old he was, but he's a baby. He's a baby enough to where he's got to be carried. So, the car won't start. So, I'm like, what the fuck? I can't, all the shit's gonna go bad. I'm freaking out. Keith is in a meeting. It's like the most important meeting he's gonna have all month. Like, I knew it was there. I knew it was this time. And I was like, fuck, I can't call him. So I remembered that his nephew lived on the island. Great. So I call Ryan. Ryan, can you come get me? My car is dead and I'm stuck here with the baby and a car full of groceries. Yeah, totally. Okay. And like an hour goes by, y'all. Like a fucking hour. Nothing from Ryan. So I'm just like, okay, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just going to clean my room and then I'm coming. Okay. Also, by the way, guys, teenager. Teenager. So, teenage behavior. So, I take the baby inside to get a snack because it's been so long. We're going to get some ice cream. I fucking lost the keys. I don't know where they went, y'all. I was digging in trash cans at fucking Sam's Club. I was looking in the motherfucking parking lot. I was asking the fucking attendants. I mean, I don't know where they fucking went. I don't know. I don't know. They fucking vanished into thin air. I just between the car and the counter. Okay. So now I'm fucked. Now I'm fucked. Because even when he comes to get me, I can't get those fucking groceries out of the car now. I can't get anything. It's fucking ruined. I've just wasted $400 worth of shit. All right. So here's my day. Okay. Great. Then I'm still waiting. Don't forget. On a young man who's just super selfish and has nothing going on in his life right now because he's a young man, to just do whatever and just fucking come up and pick me up. Okay, that's how my day was. Okay, then we ride back. When he finally gets there, we get in the car and ride back, and the person at the gate like fucking harasses him. Oh my god, it was a fuck. Anyways, and he's like being a dick, blah blah blah. So I just kept getting these little fucking hits all day long. And I just was just mentally and physically drained. I had no more feelings. I was dead inside. But then we get home. We're trying to get all this stuff. Keith is going to get the keys and he's going to come with me to help get the groceries or whatever. Fucking, I don't fucking remember even what happened. I don't even fucking remember. But I do remember that finally, after this whole day is done, we get home. We're doing stuff. Olivia leaves the door open. The dog gets out. The dog then goes immediately for like this tiny little dog because my dog is a motherfucking bitch and she does not like tiny dogs or cats. So she got out and started going towards these people's dog. Well, I caught her. I'm fucking pissed. I'm screaming, who the fuck let the dog out? Like, who the fuck left the door open? Y'all know that's like the number one thing we can't do is leave the fucking door open because she's a bitch. Anyways... we get inside. Olivia had left the door open. Fine. She comes flying at me. And I'm like, Olivia, did you leave the door open? You can't leave the door open. The fucking dog got out and she attacked somebody. And you know you can't. She started arguing with me. I don't even know, y'all. See? And this is where I got damn near close to doing it this time because I didn't give a fuck. I could not have given any fucks about anyone else's feelings right then. That's, and it sounds fucking callous, and it is callous, but that was the one time I almost did it right. So, I mean, I'm just telling y'all. I have no idea what she said. None. She's just freaking out, screaming in my face. I responded with, you think this is a conversation, but it's not. It's me telling you that's what you're gonna do. And she fucking screamed like a Disney princess, ran into her room, threw herself down on the bed and literally screamed in there for hours, y'all, like a Disney princess. And anyone who's been a teenage girl, y'all know, I'm not above it. I do it. So anyways, but I didn't give a fuck. I had put my hands into a public trash can that day. I did not give a fuck while holding an infant. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the kind of tired that you can't replicate. Okay. Anyways, dinner time comes. She comes out of her bedroom to the dinner table and fucking not only engages in conversation with other people, she held it together and was kind and was laughing and totally part of the family. Now, y'all, this is how I know that's not my biological daughter. Because I am fucking 37 years old. And if somebody pissed me off. Oh, sorry, guys. Somebody's texting me. If somebody pissed me off like that, there is no fucking way I would come to the table being mature. Y'all can forget it.
Nope.
So, instead of carrying out the punishment that I gave her, which whatever the fuck it was, y'all don't even remember. I really don't. At the end of dinner, when we're all putting the dishes away and we're washing, and she's washing dishes or some shit, I don't remember, but it was in the kitchen. I said what I just said to you, that there's no fucking way that I would have been mature enough to walk into the dining room and, like, I would have come to dinner, but I'd have been shooting some motherfucking daggers with my glances, okay? But she sat there, mature, composed, and was part of the family. So that's what I told her. That's incredible. That's mature. And because you did that, and because you found that inside of yourself, I am impressed, and you're not in trouble anymore. Like, if you were grounded, you're not grounded. Whatever the fuck it was, I don't remember, y'all. Like, you don't have, it's over now. Because, damn, girl, you got it together. We're impressed. But that's the only time that it's ever, that I've ever done it correctly, and it worked, right? I know. No. It looks different when I do it with other kids. Do not expect that result. Olivia is crazy mature. Because, again, I'm 37, and I would fucking, I'd be like, Do you want some more, do you want some water, honey? I would just be such a bitch. So, anyways, that's the story of how one time I did it correctly. But, so, step two, hardest. So, wrote down, so the next, so step three are the exact words that he uses, and I'll go over that, but, this is impossible. So, like, the best way is to think, for example, I was outside the other day, and I heard slamming all around. So, when Hank gets all pissy up there playing video games, or when they lose or whatever, like, they, like, slam the desk down and shit. Okay, you know what? That's my stuff, and you're breaking shit, and you're disrespecting the stuff in our house. This is a problem. We always have this problem with him. Okay, it's something that's just been piling up. But guess who's been reading her mom books? So I was like, oh, no, I'm going to go tell him to stop. I'm done with that. That's not something I want in my home. So I walk upstairs, and I'm like, stop hitting the desk. Do you understand? This is our stuff. You are breaking too many things. It is disrespectful. Also, it's way too intense. I can hear it outside. If I hear it again, I am turning it off. Do you understand? Yes, sir. God. Yes, sir. Okay. Great. Come back downstairs. Bitch, my ass is not even in the chair before he starts making it again. Slamming shit around. So I walk upstairs and I said, turn it off. Without any other words. My God, I'm not baby. You don't fucking need it. I don't even know what he said. Again. Because it doesn't matter because I've been reading. So I'm sitting there. He's freaking out. He's pissy or whatever. He slams the door. Cool. I don't give a fuck. Then dinner comes. Or no, wait. He's no. Okay. Yeah. There's one more level. So like, I don't care. I made him turn that shit off. Sorry. I got to drink some coffee. My throat is going to fucking turn into a desert. So I told him, turn it off. He turns it off. Whatever. I go back downstairs and outside. And he starts throwing a little fucking temper tantrum up in there, slamming shit around, and making even more noise than before. So I walked upstairs, and I was like, hey, dude, now you lost it, and you can't have it back. Everything is gone now for you. I'm very sorry. And as I go to turn, he fucking attacks me, y'all. Just, like, personally attacks everything about me. Caught my ass off guard. And I'm standing there listening to it because they get you. They make you think you're the fucking issue and you're the bad guy. And you start to fucking think like, OMG, am I a fucking bad guy? Like, maybe I am being unreasonable. Oh my God. But don't do it. It's a trick. So as he's attacking me, luckily another child, another teenage boy, Hunter, who's 17, is there. And he's like, just his presence, just because I know he's like right there, I'm like, no, Katie. Like, it helped me be like, no, Katie. Like, what would you do if it was Hunter? What would you do if it was Olivia? What would you do if it was Gage? Right? Like, no, bitch. We're getting back on our game. No, bitch. Don't slip. So, okay. So it brings me back in, luckily, and I'm like, no. What's happening here is that you did something. I told you not to do it. You did it again. I took it away. You did it again, and now you're being punished. And instead of accepting that you're at fault, you're personally attacking me. by the way, I read that chapter like four times this morning, like I said, so I know now that was probably a little bit too much. Anyway, so okay, so I leave. Well, this is my favorite thing to do. So then I like pop in to Hunter's room and I'm like whisper to him, I'm like, hey dude, am I a bitch right now? Like, am I being a fucking bitch right now? Like, is this unfair? And he was like, no. And I was like, cool. All right, bye. Thank you. Bye. I just like to know when I'm being a bitch. Gotta check in. Ask somebody. Am I unreasonable right now? So, anyways, great. Fantastic. So, now what does he say about that? This responding with just what you had to say, not affected by what their response is. Again, real hard, guys. So just take it easy on step two. Yeah. Go easy on yourself. So, so when you deliver, it's and without being affected, this kind of parenting earns respect. It is in the strength not to resort to their level that maintains that respect. So through unemotional delivery of the rules, you will be able to maintain your respect that they have for you. Your respect for them will be gone because they're about to say some mean shit. I'm just kidding. But this is step two, never happened to my growing, developing young Hank. Step two never happened. In fact, I didn't even know about step two until Hank was probably 8 or 9, right? So, and again, like, it's not, I'm not saying this emotionally, I'm saying it factually, as if I have two separate specimens. I have five separate specimens, but in this case, a very, 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 very clear distinction between like the way that number five is being raised and number four is being raised, because there was so much different. There was 8 years in between. I mean, yeah, I didn't know about step two. And it's just so seriously though, Hank was allowed to argue. I never not let him argue. I've never not let him argue. This is my first time standing up for myself, and that's the fucking truth. Because I'm impressed by his brain, because I think he's clever, I love where he comes from, and I kind of also like, you know, law and arguing and debate, and you know, I get a little bit into it too, and that's something that I have to acknowledge and stop doing. There's a rebuttal for everything. I have a rebuttal for everything. So, Magnus definitely has to accept the word no. It's just part of his life, and it has been forever. Olivia always had no as part of her life. It was always just accepted that when dad says no, he fucking means no, and he's not gonna change it. No matter how loud you get, no matter how emotional you get, he's never gonna change it. And so now we have a 21-year-old example, and a 14-year-old example, and a 6-year-old example. And in this case, the oldest one, she's real good at accepting things in her life that don't go her way. Again, like I just said, she's very mature, she's very adaptable. Right, she's also a girl. Hey, girls, high five. But Hank is not, and he thinks he can argue his way out of every single fucking scenario. Okay, so this is all new to him. This no is still new to him. And so my telling you this and my recommendation is that you start that as early as possible. You start step two as early as possible. So step one is easy. They're gonna fucking tell you whatever they think it is, no matter what. They'll just keep starting over. You're never gonna get away from step one. You just have to accept that they're a human being and that they have an individual point of view. Even like he said, a doctor, even if he said stupid. Damn, I just cannot believe he put that in his book, y'all. It's a bit harsh. It's a bit harsh. Okay, so step two. And what does that mean? And how do we say it? I wrote it down in step three. Okay, step three. This is what he said. Okay, I'm just going to read it. I'm sorry. You may disagree or think that I'm truly wrong. I may, in fact, be wrong. But I am your parent, and the decisions that I make are in my judgment. What I think is best, whether you like it or not, you are stuck with me. That won't change, at least for the next few years. Okay, so that's like verbatim what he says inside the book. But I think you can do better than that. And I think it's good enough. I think that the first part is fucking fantastic. You may disagree or think that I am wrong. I may, in fact, be wrong. Love that. Do say that. Yes. and then he goes on, the decisions that I make are in my judgment, what I think is best. Love it. You can just, I think it's easier to just say something that feels more direct for you. So in my case, I've been practicing saying something like, you may disagree, you may think that I'm wrong, I might be wrong. But it doesn't matter. It's not going to change the rule that I've set in place. Just to get kind of, boom, I'm in charge here. But, you know, I do think it's really important to also say, I'm doing these things because it's best for you and I love you and that's not going to change. So whatever version of paraphrasing that you want to say, whatever. I mean, I wrote it down. I'm going to read it to you again, exactly as it is in the book, word for word, because, girl, you got to start somewhere. You got to practice. Because that's what I did. And Dr. Wolf has a PhD, not me. So let's hear it again. You may disagree or think that I am truly wrong. I may, in fact, be wrong. But I am your parent, and the decisions that I make are, in my judgment, what I think is best, whether you like it or not. You are stuck with me. That won't change, at least for the next few years. So that's what he says. And then I wrote down step four, repeat as necessary. He does not say that, but it ain't gonna work the first time. You know what I'm saying? And since this is how to play with your kids and what to expect, here's what you can fucking expect. Door slamming, cussing, screaming, them sulking around, being an asshole, screaming how much they hate your face. All of that behavior, they're gonna explode. They're gonna explode whether they're fucking 14 and that's the first time they've heard it, or whether they're 2 and that's the first time they've heard it. Exploding is part of the package. And so that's why it's the fucking sucks. So step one, part of the package. Explosion. Pissed off. Screaming venom. You know, all of this other stuff. Step two, I don't care. You know what I mean? No? Stay. See, y'all? Oh my God. See how I just said step two? I don't care. No, Katie! God. Just fucked it up. Staying strong, not be affected by their response. Say what it is that you came to say. For example, Hank, I told you to stop slamming stuff. You slammed. You're grounded. Or whatever the fucking punishment was. I don't remember. I don't ever remember. That kind of stuff is by the moment. So this is about chapter one, and in chapter two, hopefully I'll fucking get there if I can figure out chapter one. But he goes on later to talk about the most fascinating part for me, and that is that this respect, your position over them, it's kind of imaginary. And in order for it to work, they too have to buy into it. And they will not if they don't respect you. That goes for everything, really. I could go on and on about examples of how that works in real life. But once you lose the respect of someone, it's over. It's over. And so when they learn that they can attack you and attack you and attack you, and you're not going to grow back and you're not going to stay firm, like I said, it destroys them. That's what happens. They don't feel secure. It could destroy a person. They need to feel protected. They need to feel like you're in charge. oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, guys. But they need to feel this way because they feel so out of control. Everything is spinning crazy. Everyone wants to feel like someone else has it in control, even if they fucking don't. So let's see what else I got over here. Oh, this is okay. So this is my favorite that I wrote down. I'm seeing my timer is kind of running out, so I want to wrap up a little bit so I don't keep you so long. Okay. Adolescence is a time like no other. It is a time of transformation, which is not one single event, but a number of major changes coming in a relatively short amount of time. I love that. Yeah, that explains it. I call it turning into a werewolf, and we call it puberty. If anybody watched Star versus the Forces of Evil, fucking great cartoon. But they call it puberty in it. But yeah, they're turning into something else completely. And we don't even have to go down that road because, you know, everyone understands how puberty works. But it's really those constant, massive, major changes that come rapidly. That's the big deal for parents and children. And, you know, give yourself some grace. Like, you know, this is hard for everybody. So, so before we wrap it up, step one. Accept that the child can say anything that they want. Again, this goes for everything, y'all. When you're playing games with them and they say some dumbass shit and you want to argue, don't. Don't. Because, again, you're teaching them how to argue, how to get out of things, how to fucking manipulate situations or whatever. They're not teaching them that it's not going to affect, y'all, my brain just full on stopped. It's not going to stop you from enforcing that rule. So it's a great time to practice. And since this is how to play with your kids and what to expect, when you're playing games, expect that when you try to enforce this, when you say things like, that's fine, but it's not going to change the rule of this game, expect game time to be over, expect them to throw the board, expect them to cuss. I don't know what your kids do, but mine just go, God, really bad, like, oh, they love that move. I don't know why. So when they start acting like that and huffing and puffing and ruining everything and telling you you're a cheater or whatever else it is, because they'll just keep on boom, 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 slinging mud, you just calmly fold up the board and pack it away. And you understand that next time we play the game, it'll be just a little bit easier. And then we may have to pack it up again. But then the next time, it may just work out. Because we're on a long game here. We're playing the long game. You know, you can't let them eat you alive. You can't. And God, I don't say that lightly. It's the hardest thing that you'll probably ever have to do. But I promise that when you fucking do it, you feel so much better. Like the other day when he was like, when I had grounded Hank the other day when he did that, and that was my first time of kind of like implying my rules on him alone. Cause when Keith is here at the house, he totally behaves a little bit more. He's still kind of an ass, but he behaves a little bit more. He always gives me his worst, which is OMG, y'all. He loves me. Anyway, so this was my first time kind of following step one, step two, step three, step four, and repeating, right? Just keep, and he didn't even eat dinner. He fucking cried all night in his bed. He went to sleep. He didn't even eat dinner. He sulked around. Guess who didn't give a motherfuck? Me. I didn't give a fuck because I understood because of this book. Thank you, Dr. Wolf. That this is just part of the game, part of the development. And it reminded me, oh my gosh, you guys, I am so sorry. It was an actual burp. Damn, Katie, you don't come around for like a fucking month or more and then you're burping and coughing and shit. Oh my God, fucking unprofessional. So sorry, so sorry. Okay, so when you just do it, and you feel good, and you've got the reinforcement of Dr. Wolf behind you, or me, or your mom, or whoever else it is, and you find the strength to fucking do it, you feel great. You feel great because you're doing what you know to be right for your family. And that's fucking awesome. It makes you feel good. So hang in there, besties. You can email me at uneducatedhousewife@gmail.com. I would fucking love to hear about you. I live off of reinforcement. And also, P.S., I am a group project worker. I hate doing shit on my own. So your emails and your messages totally fucking pull me through and give me I don't want to say energy to keep on going forward, but that's what it feels like. It feels like, hell yeah, now I'm excited. Now I want to move forward. It gives me a little bit more drive. So anyways, email me if you want. I would love it. At uneducatedhousewife@gmail.com. You can follow me on Instagram at uneducatedhousewife@gmail.com. And you can buy my books on Amazon. Just search Katrina Gerke on Amazon. Hang in there, dudes. This is a fucking heinous, heinous job. But we can do it together. I love you. Love you, love you, love you. You can do it. Step one, just listen to them. Step two, don't be affected emotionally. Good luck.